students in some Wake County neighborhoods could be sent to a school double the distance from where they currently are. How hundreds of parents are voicing their concerns.
A carjacking here on B Street in Fayetteville ends in gunfire and leaves one man dead.
Gun violence is something that must stop.
Police say they need your help finding the suspect.
An historic vote to remove Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. What political leaders are saying about this historic decision. Plus, a closer look at the North Carolina congressman temporarily stepping in.
Here's the front that's bringing a big shot of fall. When we'll really feel it and which day I bumped up rain chances.
Chair declares the House in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
That was North Carolina Republican Patrick McHenry in that moment that he took control of the House, closed that hearing, and emphatically slammed that gavel. Now here at 7 o'clock, we're taking a live look at Capitol Hill as the U.S. House remains in recess following a historic vote, ousting Republican Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. Good evening and thanks for joining with us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. McCarthy was ousted by Democrats and eight Republicans in an historic vote this afternoon, meaning North Carolina Republican Patrick McHenry will now serve as interim House Speaker. To help us understand the significance of this, political science professor David McLennan joins us live. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Ashley.
So Congressman McHenry represents North Carolina's 10th congressional district. That includes the suburbs of Charlotte. He's no rookie. He's serving his 10th term and has had leadership involvement. Still, he's navigating uncharted waters. So what's your impression of what McHenry has in front of him?
He's got a very difficult task. I mean, he's been aligned with McCarthy since they've been in Congress together and has been sort of his right-hand person. And so I think he faces a number, at least eight Republicans who didn't want McCarthy as their speaker. And so anything Patrick McHenry might want to do, he could face the same kind of pushback that McCarthy got. Mm.
This is historic, and there's a lot of work that he's going to have to do to try to bring people together. How does it impact the average American, though?
Well, I think what it does for Americans is it slows down the legislative process in the House. They're going to be dealing with who the next permanent speaker is going to be. And while that's going on, we know that we have a limited time to get the budget under control because there was only a 45-day extension. So we could be facing, before you even think about it, another deadline for keeping government open. We've got the farm bill. So I think people will start noticing that there's more chaos in Washington, and that's hard to believe me saying more chaos, but chaos in Washington that could lead to a real impact for people who, you know, are expecting government services.
What a day in Washington. We have been speaking with political science professor David McLennan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Happening right now, families upset with the idea of their children having to travel much further to go to school from their homes are showing their opposition at tonight's board meeting in Wake County. Their presence is in response to this proposal from the school board aimed at relieving overcrowding at some of our schools across the district. WRL's Aaron Thomas live in Cary tonight. There's about a month left before this proposal could be approved. Lots to talk about and a lot of opinions from parents, Aaron.
You know, Dan, student reassignment comes up year after year as Wake County schools, this area continues to explode with growth. Those board members that you just mentioned, they're supposed to be revisiting and voting on this plan next month. But the parents from the northwestern part of this county, they're inside showing their opposition before anything is set in stone. Let's actually take you inside this meeting and show you the video. You're looking at dozens of parents that actually packed out this meeting coming from two neighborhoods in Morrisville. So you have some parents that are wearing purple. They come from Providence Place. And you have parents wearing green. They represent Kitts Creek. Families from both neighborhoods are not happy with the idea of their children being reassigned from their Bay schools. But schools there, according to school officials, are overcrowded. Impacted parents want their concerns heard before a final plan is approved.
We know that change is inevitable because of the growth in our area, but maybe there are some alternatives that they can consider before moving the Bay school.
Yeah, certainly a lot of opposition tonight. Actually, public comment is just getting underway. At 10 o'clock on Fox 50, we're going to be hearing from the school board member who represents these neighborhoods. He talks about finding that fine balance between making sure schools are not overcrowded, but finding a plan that works for these impacted families. Dan?
It's all about the growth in this area. Aaron Thomas, live in Wake County. Thanks, Aaron.
Durham police are still investigating who's behind a bomb threat at a local Jewish community campus. The Judea Reform Congregation, the Jewish for Good Community Center, and the Lerner School had to be evacuated. Police say the synagogue received an email saying there were multiple bombs throughout the campus. Senior Rabbi Matthew Soffer says he was comforted by the quick actions of staff and the support from the interfaith community.
It's really comforting to know that people are willing to learn and whatever we can be doing to promote peace and love. I mean, it's clear that hate is cheap and easy and love takes more work. And so we need more people doing this work.
That bomb threat was a hoax. The all clear was given earlier this afternoon.
A family of five in Durham has been displaced after their house caught fire this afternoon. You're seeing some photos from the aftermath there after it was put out. Officials say they responded to Ranbir Drive around 3 p.m. When they arrived, they saw one house on fire. The siding, as you can tell, of that house is melted. Crews were able to put the fire out quickly, fortunately. But two adults and three children were home at the time. Thankfully, no one was injured. The fire is currently under investigation.
Fayetteville police have identified the man who was shot to death during an early morning carjacking. We're told he's 39-year-old Ricky McMillan Jr. It happened pretty close to downtown. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays talked with the victim's father, who says his son was killed less than a block away from his home.
Well, this is where it happened. This is the intersection of School and B Street here in Fayetteville. Investigators say what started as a carjacking ended in gunfire, and now one person is dead.
Fayetteville police taped off B Street around 12:30 this morning and spent several hours gathering evidence.
Well, the strange thing, I came out on the porch last night about 12, and I seen lights around there, but I didn't know that what was going on, you know.
This is 39-year-old Ricky McMillan Jr.'s father. He says his son just got the white Dodge Challenger Hellcat with a black hood yesterday.
Like I said, he probably was going to come over here because he had got that car. His girlfriend had bought him that car. He kept telling me he was going to get him a charger. So,
we're told McMillan was shot multiple times and later died at the hospital. Kevin Lee and his friends are remodeling a house not far from the shooting.
And I looked at the news this morning. They just said, you know, somebody got carjacked. So I was like, wow, you know.
What's your thoughts knowing that this happened right down from the house you were working on here?
Well, I tell you, I've been out here all the time, and I never seen nothing on this end. But that end there, I don't even go that way.
That's because police say this section of B Street has a history of drugs and gun violence.
You know, gun violence is something that must stop.
Theretha Chance is speaking from her heart. She says her daughter, 22-year-old Maggie Fulmore, was shot to death in her car by her boyfriend.
And when you lose a child to gun violence, that's something that you would never forget. Because the anniversary for my daughter is coming up the 31st of this month. And I don't want any other parent to have to endure or go through what I have been through.
So Fayetteville police working all the leads on this case, but they're asking the public, if you know what happened out there on B Street last night, to give them a call. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WRAL News.
Police are searching their network of security cameras in hopes of finding clues that lead to the arrest of a suspect.
Raleigh City Council expected to vote on funding to help almost two dozen residents from getting displaced at Grosvenor Gardens. This is a historic apartment building on Hillsborough Street that the city and county helped CASA buy with the promise of keeping it affordable. Then they were notifying the residents there that the rent would go up. City Council is expected to approve $68,000 in additional funding to help low-income residents. When natural disasters strike, our community is quick to respond. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have been raised for victims of the Rocky Mount tornado, how it's helping to rebuild their lives. Plus, the future of high school sports significantly shakes up who oversees your child's team. WRAL's Capitol Bureau Chief breaks down who now has power and what that means for student athletes. Kat.
And a cold front is coming for the weekend. I'll let you know when we'll experience the biggest chill coming up.
Back right now in the WRL Live Center here at 712. A couple of updates on the Speaker of the House situation. We are expecting to hear from former Speaker Kevin McCarthy at about 7:30 this evening. That'll be the first time we hear from him since that ouster. These are three different live feeds we're monitoring right here. This is what it looks like on the left and the right side from different photographers inside as lawmakers leave. The center one is that McCarthy press conference. So we're getting some clarity on what's next here. It appears the House is going to stay in recess until next week. On Tuesday, there will be, if you will, a candidate forum where those who are looking to be the next speaker will pitch their ideas and the reasons why they think they should be the Speaker of the House. And then a vote could come as early as Tuesday evening or maybe even Wednesday of next week. Pro Tem Patrick McHenry, you see right here in this video clip, he is from North Carolina, the Charlotte area. This is video of him walking into Kevin McCarthy's office just a short time ago. He's essentially in control at this point, but it doesn't appear as if he is going to be just the easy checkmark going forward, Speaker of the House going forward. At this point, there has to be this whole process that'll unfold next week. So 7:30, about 15 minutes from now, we will hear from Kevin McCarthy on all these major developments here late this evening. Back to you.
A busy night. Imagining all the maneuvering in D.C. right now. Mark, thank you. Your area could soon be getting better access to the internet. North Carolina received $22 million to expand broadband access in 14 counties. Four are in our area: Franklin, Granville, Sampson, and Vance counties, all on the list. Counties can use the money for new internet infrastructure projects or expand already established service. For the full breakdown, you can head to WRLTechWire.com.
A relief fund has now raised more than $500,000 for victims of the Rocky Mount tornado in July. This EF3 storm damaged more than 100 homes in Nash and Edgecombe County. The United Way launched the Twin Counties Tornado Relief Fund days after the storm, hoping to raise that $500,000. They initially struggled to get donations. They say a WRL story on their efforts helped double donations in a single day. Now they've given out nearly $300,000 to help victims recover.
It really picked up speed a few weeks in, and we are actually still seeing donations come in today. So it's an amazing testament to the generosity of folks that want to help our community.
And that money is going to home repairs and short-term financial support for victims. They're still taking donations, as you mentioned, as you heard her say there. You can find the link to donate alongside this story on WRAL.com.
The future of school sports in North Carolina is kind of up in the air right now under a bill that became law today. It strips the North Carolina High School Athletic Association of its rulemaking authority beginning next year. And right now, it's not clear at this point who will actually run school sports next year or how. WRL Capital Bureau Chief Lauren Leslie explains what will change as a result.
Friday Night Lights could look a little bit different come next year. The organization that sets the rules, makes up the schedules, and runs the playoffs in football and all the other high school sports may not be involved next year. Now, some lawmakers have been after the North Carolina High School Athletic Association for years, saying they take too much money from schools and aren't transparent enough about what they do with it. Well, lawmakers have passed a law that some say could lead to its demise. For about 110 years, the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, a private nonprofit, has been in charge of school sports in this state. A bill state lawmakers pushed through in the late night hours at the end of session changes that. It strips the NCHSAA of its rulemaking authority and gives it instead to the state schools chief. NCHSAA Commissioner Q Tucker said they had no warning.
It was a blindsided attack. Very unfortunate that this is the way politics have now. This is what we're dealing with.
Next year, it'll be up to State Superintendent Catherine Truitt to decide who will run school sports. In the meantime, NCHSAA can no longer have corporate sponsors. Tucker said that will mean cuts to staff and holding playoff games at member schools, not big venues. NCHSAA also can no longer give out scholarships.
I believe in the people, the young people who participate in our program, and I believe they'll be negatively impacted.
This isn't the first time Republican state senators unhappy with some of the NCHSAA's decisions have gone after it. 2 years ago, they tried to dissolve it completely. Senator Todd Johnson was one of them. He thinks the group isn't responsive enough to parents.
I believe in their association. Right. We just need to do some house cleaning there.
If the NCHSAA cannot come to an agreement with Truett next year, Johnson said he's already been talking to another group that could take its place.
We want the High School Athletic Association to do this for a long time. We want them to be successful. So there is no goal to try to move them out and move somebody in. But we also wanted to have that safety net just in case, to know that there was somebody that could step in.
We did ask State School Superintendent Catherine Truett for an interview about this today. Her spokeswoman said she did not have time to talk with us, but she says the office is reviewing that new law. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Garner.
Wake Tech and Durham Tech graduates are in high demand, especially among companies recruiting for biotech and biopharmaceutical jobs. Today, the two community colleges partnered to host a big biotech fair at the Lilly Science and Technology Center in Morrisville. At least 10 companies were represented. Graduates came to learn more about jobs with an average starting salary of about $45,000 a year with benefits. Graduate students with a degree can command an even higher salary.
Very nice. So is the weather, by the way. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now with another gorgeous sunset behind her.
And, you know, it's one of the big talking points with everybody this week, just how nice it's been. And we've got a lot more of this weather to go, at least until the weekend. You can see downtown Raleigh from the Natural Sciences Museum, a stunning sunset. 77 degrees at this hour, a dew point of 62. So a little bit more moisture in the atmosphere today. By Thursday, I think you'll notice an increase in the humidity. But for tomorrow, it's beautiful to get outside, get some fresh air. 58 degrees in the morning. By 10 a.m., 66, 75, just perfect at lunchtime with the sunshine, and low 80s during the afternoon tomorrow. But we've got changes on the way between Thursday and the weekend. That is when these changes take place. So it's going to be a gradual change with the cold front. We go from the 80s Thursday back into the upper 40s on Sunday morning. 49 Raleigh, 48 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 43 in Roxborough, 50 in Fayetteville. I think that we'll be closer to 40 in Roxborough Monday morning. Not entirely out of the question that they could be in the upper 30s. We're in the mid-40s here in the Triangle and Fayetteville. A frigid start by next Monday morning, at least compared to what we've been used to. It's always the coolest feeling, kind of chill for the first one of the season. Satellite radar showing where our cold front is right now, still a ways away, but look at all this cool air behind it. You can actually track it with this big dip in the jet stream and that air being funneled in to the northwest out of Canada. We'll see this dip in the jet stream, we call it a trough, continue to approach the area over the weekend, and that's when we tap into some of that cooler air. Tropical Storm Philippe continues to turn just north of Puerto Rico, moving to the northwest at 12 miles per hour. It's not a very organized system. It will continue to track to the north, and the European model really shifted this official forecast track over potentially toward Nova Scotia and the New England region. It may be a subtropical system, though, by the weekend. Regardless, some heavy rain and gusty winds possible, with some winds 45 to 50 miles per hour. Pretty good agreement that we would not see any impacts here along the mid-Atlantic coast, but we'll keep an eye on this system. I do want to mention there are a couple of changes to the weekend forecast. I added a low chance for rain Friday. That would mainly be in our eastern counties, and a small chance for some showers as the cold front passes on Saturday. Regardless, I don't think it's going to add up to very much rain in your rain gauge, so at this point, I wouldn't rearrange any of your weekend plans. High temperatures stay in the lower 80s in the meantime. Once we get to the weekend, we see the chill really starting to settle in by Saturday night. You'll notice that cool air rushing in. It'll be quite breezy as well as the front moves through Saturday.
I think we're going to be talking about hitting the heater at the house.
Ooh,
overnight, maybe. Could,
yeah,
I think it's
nice
about that
fireplace
time.
Fireplace, maybe?
Yeah, thanks, Kat. Appreciate it. The Carolina Tiger Rescue in Pittsburgh has a couple of new residents.
After the break, we'll introduce you to these cuties and tell you where they came from.
Some new wild cats are at the Carolina Tiger Rescue in Pittsburgh.
These are pretty cute. Three Asian leopard cats are now at the facility. They were rescued from a home in Texas. There's a backstory there I'm curious about. Yeah. Authorities say they were among dozens of wild cats living in terrible conditions at one house. They say the owner was breeding them with domestic cats. That person died, and that's when the USDA stepped in. Now the cats are living at rescues all over the country. The Carolina Tiger Rescue has cared for cats that came from similar situations for years.
They have a nicer home now.
Yeah.
Yes.
The town of Sanford has been recognized as an official bee city.
Bee city. So what this means is the city has made a commitment to help pollinators to thrive. In Sanford's case, they set up 3 beehives at their municipal center. The city parks department maintains them with the help of a professional beekeeper. Sanford gets the title from the group Bee City USA. In the last 4 years, that organization has helped establish more than 1,600 pollinator habitat projects nationwide.
That's awesome.
I know. I love bees.
They do so much good for
the
environment.
I know. We have them on the roof here at what we call it, Hive 5, which is...
Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's
clever.
Cute, right?
I like that.
So could Raleigh land a Major League Baseball team?
This has been buzz all day today.
That was a bee thing.
Oh, I didn't even try.
Thing? She did a bee thing.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Some of these things just come so naturally. Mm-hmm. This afternoon, WRAL had the opportunity to talk to the Hurricanes owner, Tom Dundon, about why now would be the right time for North Carolina to do so.
I think, you know, we had to prove with the Hurricanes that there's fan support and interest. We're given where we were with our only pro sports team in Raleigh was, you know, it wouldn't have been the time. No one would have taken us seriously.
The Hurricanes ticket sales are up 15% from this time last year. Dundon says he grew up playing baseball, would love to see a pro baseball team in Raleigh. He said he was approached about putting a bid to bring a team to the state and that he's very early in the process. So let's not, you know, let's not put too much weight towards this, but...
A lot of competition to get a pro team, but boy,
yes.
That would be fun.
Yeah, one can dream. The 2023 Mighty Give Back Benefit Concert takes the stage at Red Amphitheater this weekend.
Jason Isbell in the 40 Unit will headline this year's concert, organized by Band Together. It's all to raise some money and help people in the Triangle to find affordable housing. The show is Saturday from 6:30 to 8:30. It's for a good cause. Tickets are available. You can find details at WRL.com. Just search Band Together. And we should mention WRL and Fox 50 are proud sponsors.
Thanks for making WRL your choice for local news.
Have a great night.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.